We're going to read from 2 Timothy and chapter 4. I'm going to read just the first 8 verses. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge: preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time has come for my departure. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. We thank God for that reading from his word. It was 18 years ago that Sarah and I came to Evesham. And we believed, and you believed, that God had called us to be part of the family here. And I remember at that time, for us, it was great. We'd moved from London, from a very built-up area in London, very densely populated area in London. If I wanted to go for walks, I think I've often said, if I wanted to pray, I would just walk. And if I wanted to walk, on the whole, it was pavements I walked. And that was the limit of what I could do. But when we moved to Evesham, I thought, this is great. There's so much countryside. And I could walk around the loop at the river, and it was great, and I just thoroughly enjoyed it. I remember walking one day and saying to God, okay, what is it that you want me to do here? We'd come from a church that was predominantly younger in age in London, coming to a church that at that time was predominantly older in age. And I said quite openly to God, okay, what do you want me to do? What is going to be the key of my ministry here? And you can imagine all sorts of things God could have said, all sorts of things. Do this or do that, do the other. But I remember very, very clearly, very vividly, God immediately responded to me with these words: preach the word. Preach the word. And whenever I've had that sense that God has answered my prayers, that God has responded to me, and you know, I've had, as it were, God's voice speaking to me, I am assured that it's God, because they're accompanying that word with just a sense of peace, a sense of relaxation, a sense of, okay, I can do that. And so from that point on, I thought, okay, my responsibility is to preach the word, to delve deeply into God's word and to expound it as best that I can. After about a year, I happened to be walking around the river again. And I said, okay, Lord, I've done that. I've preached the word. What now? Immediately, the words came back: preach the word. And the words that we have here in 2 Timothy, in season and out of season, when it feels good to preach, when it feels good to delve into the word and expound it, when it feels awful and challenging to oneself and to others, when I don't want to hear what God has to say, when others don't want to hear what God has to say, the challenge: preach the word. Just do it. Get up and do it. And as you well know, I have sought to dig myself a deep reservoir to delve deeply into God's word myself, that I might be obedient to what God has called me to preach the word. Now this morning, reflecting on the big series of making progress, what part in our making progress does Scripture play? How do we view it? What is it for us? Reflecting on the theme, making progress, over the last few weeks, we've taken a whole range of different themes under that heading: the authority of Jesus, the blessings of Jesus, the glory of God, faith, faith as a journey, us as a community, God as Father, fruit, our characters being more important than the gifts we receive from God and are to be used for God nonetheless. And last week, reflecting on prayer. Today, our theme is that of Scripture. And I wonder how you view Scripture. If somebody from completely outside the church said, "Talk to me about your Scriptures," how do we respond? It may be that we would just say, "Well, hang on a minute, I'll just nip in the house," and we bring out a Bible. And we say, "Well, there you go, there are our Scriptures." And it might be that that's how we view our Scriptures. We might say, "Well, they're for us, our holy texts. They are in some sense from God. They are the Word of God." It may be that we say, "Yeah, the Bible." And certainly Scriptures generally across many different religions are regarded as the sacred writings, the sacred book of a particular faith or religion. So that's what we see. And perhaps these are some of the things, the ways in which we would respond to the question of what Scripture is. Now today I want particularly not to reflect on Scriptures generally, but on the Scriptures that we have received as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as I have in the last few weeks, just putting up five different words: God, creative, transformative, relational, and decisive. Reflecting on each for just a few moments, seeking to get underneath the surface, not to trot out just what we already know, but get beneath the surface and say, okay, what is it that we have that are our Scriptures? I recognize for some of us, if we held up the Bible, we would say, "Well, there are our Scriptures. That's it. That is God's words. There is nothing beyond this. In fact, the totality of it is the totality of God's word." Others would say, "Well, hang on, there's some bits in here that I'm not really sure about. I don't think they're really God's word. There are different bits within this that are God's word." Others may say, "Well, yes, this is God's word, but there is also God's word outside of this as well." And we would perhaps even amongst us come with different views and different perspectives on this. So what of our Scriptures? What of God's word for us? And the first, just put up this word, God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And God said, what did he say? "Let there be light." In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and God said, "Let there be light." And the very obvious thing that we need to nail right at the beginning is to say that the Scriptures, God's word, it is God's word. In the beginning, God spoke. It wasn't an angel who spoke. It wasn't a mystical figure that spoke. It was God. God's word is God's word. And one of the challenges for us is that God's word is God's word. God speaks what God speaks. He doesn't say what we want him to say. It doesn't mean what we want it to mean. It is God's word. He owns his word, and he is free to speak his word. And as we approach our scriptures, as we approach the Bible, as we approach God's word, we need to acknowledge, perhaps every time we come to it, that it is God's. In the beginning, God spoke. God uttered his word. And that's where it belongs. It is not for us, in some senses, to tamper with, to impose our meaning upon it, to impose our understanding upon it. But it is rather that we might understand what God said. Just this last week, I read a little quote about a type of prayer, you know, contemplative prayer, suggesting that when contemplatives, those who would be quiet in prayer, and they would come into the presence of God, and sometimes they would sit for a few minutes, sometimes for half an hour or longer, just in the presence of God. And the suggestion was that when contemplatives come to pray, it is not to tell God what to do, but it is simply to know what God has already said and to allow the word of God to transform. And I thought, yes, that's so true. Understanding God's word, it is God's. And we in some way need to come to God's word with that humility and say, it is yours. May your word transform me. So it is, in the first place, it is God's word. The second is that it is a creative word. When God speaks, when God utters words, it is to create. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And God said, let there be light. And God said, let the land produce vegetarian. God said, let us create. The word of God is creative. And this is, you know, when you think about it, it's really, really exciting that God's word is creative. It's his word. And when we receive it into our own hearts, what does it do? It creates. Now, I don't know how many of you are good gardeners. We have the expression green fingered. Any of you green fingered? Some of you perhaps, some of us not. You know, I'm pretty useless. You know, if I plant stuff, squirrels come along and just dig it up and, you know, it's in. But if you've ever taken a seed and you've planted the seed, particularly if you plant it in a pot and you water it, you do whatever, and it grows. And it can become quite a substantial plant. And particularly when you take it out of the pot in order to plant it out in the garden, perhaps, or another pot. And you know, you can see that immensity out of that tiny seed, all those roots that have grown, and the plant that has grown out of it. When we receive God's word immediately is looking to grow and to be creative, to do new and good things in your heart and mind. And one of the ways in which we can allow God's word to be creative is this, that when we read, perhaps, maybe you're in the habit of reading, let's say, a chapter a day. Read the chapter a day and then go back over it. Read it again and perhaps say, okay, is there one verse, is there one phrase here that I'll receive particularly as God's word to me today? Yeah? You can take that phrase and then just repeat it. And then at odd times, when you're in the queue at the supermarket, when you're driving, when you're walking, wherever it is, whatever you're doing, just repeat that phrase to you. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, whatever it is. The Lord is my shepherd. And what you will find is that it will begin to feed you, because that's what the creative word of God does in you. It is good in you. And God's word is creative. When you receive God's word, it is creative. Now, of course, it does require good soil. It does require tending. It's not automatic. Oh, that it was, because then we could just speak God's word to one another and transformation would take place. It requires us to receive God's word, that seed, and allow it to create within us. And yes, I know, you can sit through how many sermons? Hundreds of sermons. Thousands of sermons. You can read how much of the Bible? All of it. Many, many times. And you know, it can make not a jot of difference. But it is only when we receive it and say, I want it to make a difference. Allow it to be creative within my own heart and life. And that's what is needed. So we understand that God's word, it is God's word, not for us to impose anything on, but to allow it to reveal its mystery and its wisdom. It is creative. It was creative when it was spoken, and it continues to be creative today. And following right on is this word transformative. God's word is transformative. If we receive God's word, if it is good soil that God's word finds in our own hearts, if we tend it, meditate upon what God has spoken to us, it will transform us. It will transform us. Now, what we can say of our own lives, this is who I am. Have you ever said that to anybody? You know, this is who I am. Just, I can't change. This is it. I'm impatient. This is who I am. I'm ambitious. This is who I am. I'm negative. This is who I am. You know? And it seems to me, as soon as we make those categorical statements about ourselves, suggesting we cannot change, I want to say we haven't understood God's word. We haven't understood God's word, because God's word, it is God's, it is creative, and it's transformative. And we say to God, okay, this is who I am. May your word take root in my heart and my life. And may it transform me. May it transform me. In character. We reflected a couple of weeks ago on the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit, God's word growing within us. And we need to receive that and allow God's word to transform us. If you're impatient, if you're liable to angry outbursts, if you're jealous or envious, let God's word transform you. If we can't see the future and we have no sense of hope, let God's word transform you. This is what God's word does, because it is creative and it's transformative. And of course, Genesis 1, it was God who spoke. It was God who spoke in order to create. It was God who spoke in order to create, in order to transform the void into something that was beautiful and wonderful. And then, fourthly, God's word is relational. And you might think, well, how on earth does that work? And we may often see, well, you know, this is God's word. We might say that. This is God's word. And here it is in black and white. You know, God's word. That's it. And somehow we might say, God's word, well, it's kind of distant. You know, it's separate from me. You know, it just is, it's there. Whether I like it or not. And, you know, sometimes when we read the scriptures, there are just phrases that warm one's heart. Yeah? And in Genesis 1:26, then God said, let us make man in our image. Do you hear that? Do God said, let there be light. God said, let there be land, let there be sky, let there be sun, let there be a moon. And then in verse 26, it says, God said, let us. Let us? Who? It was relational. God's word is relational and inclusive. And there are times when God will come to us and speak to us and say, come. Let us reason together, says the Lord. It's not just a diktat that he's given to us. Do this, do that, change this, change that. God's word says, let us engage together. And there's that wonderful sense when Jesus walked with the disciples on the day of resurrection, not understanding, as the disciples not understanding what had happened, and Jesus walked with them and spoke to them. And God's word is somehow relational. It's somehow inclusive. It somehow draws us in. It doesn't stand far off and just utter statements and dogma at us, but encourages us to be part of God's creative, transformative word. And I find it warms my heart to know that in some way, I'm not some kind of robot and I'm just told, do this, do that, do the other. But God says, come on, Ed. Together. Let's do this. Come together. And I think there's that profound and deep sense that it is a journey that God calls us to undertake with his word. It's a creative word. Come on. Have a heart ready to receive. Be transformed. It's the relational, inclusive nature of God's word. And then this final note about God's word is utterly decisive. You see, even though we can say it is relational, even though God says to us, come on, let us reason together. Let us do this. Let's walk together and talk together. Let's have a relationship here in terms of my word, and understanding my word, and working out the creative, transformative element of my word. God's word is decisive. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, probably can't turn up, the scripture, it's like a two-edged sword. It cuts. Scripture is sharp. It is decisive. It is clear. And there are those times when God's word is decisive. It is clear exactly what God would have of us. And we neglect it at our peril. And sometimes we do neglect it. And we say, no, I'm not ready to receive that decisive word spoken into our life. Sometimes that word comes as a stop it. Sometimes it comes as a change this. Sometimes it comes as a go and do that, as a word of command. But it's a decisive, clear word that we cannot avoid ultimately. We might try to push it on one side, but God's word is decisive and clear. And so scratching beneath the surface, understanding what are we talking about when we talk about our scriptures? What are we talking about when we talk about God's word? It is that it is God. It is God who has spoken. His word is creative. We can have confidence in that. It is creative. It was creative when it was spoken, and it continues to be creative now. It is transformative. If we allow God's word in, if we allow our hearts to be good soil for God's word, it will transform us. But it's also relational. God coming to us and say, let us engage together. Let us walk together. Let's relate together. Let's think together. Let's reason together. But then God's word is also decisive. We cannot play with God's word. We cannot treat it like some sort of toy or possession. It is a decisive, incisive word that we receive. There's a sense in which God's word is on fire. and we need to treat it well and with care. And I trust that this morning, in some way, as I said, seeking just to scratch beneath the surface a little bit, we might be encouraged. And maybe we'll go away and say, okay, I'm going to try again to read God's word, to allow it to take root in my heart, to do good and wonderful things in my life, that I might reflect God's goodness as his word, as his life grows in me. And let's pause and we'll pray together. Father, thank you that you spoke and you speak. You spoke in the past in so many different ways, and you continue to speak to us today. And Father, I pray that whatever encouragement that has been planted in our hearts this morning, Father, I pray that that encouragement would be nurtured by us, and we would welcome all that you do, all that you will do, all that you want to do in us and through us. Father, we know that your word is alive and active. Father, we pray that we might not take it lightly, but we would receive your word with honor and respect. Father, give us a delight and a joy in reading your word, and a deeper desire to immerse ourselves in it. May your blessing be with us as we seek to achieve this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.